Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at NoClutchNate.
And my name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And I'm Scott Carelli, and you can find me as one of the hosts of The Doctor's Companion. Another time travel thing. See? I'm the time travel guy.
This is why we have you on here.
It's a time travel minute. Yeah, I don't remember if you requested these minutes or that we signed you up for them. So
you signed us up for this. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. No, I did not request
too
these.
Easy. You walk right into that one.
Yeah.
Today we are talking about minute number 209 of Zack Snyder's Justice League. Part 6, Something Darker, and this minute is going to start out with the Justice League beginning to rematerialize as Flash is running back in time, and the minute is going to end with Cyborg facing his family within the realm of the Mother Boxes, Remember this fake reality that he's got going on.
Mm-hmm. Augmented reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this week we've been talking a lot about The Flash, been talking a lot about time travel. We see kind of the reward of Flash going back in time as he's fixed everything. He's put everyone back together. A little Humpty Dumpty for you. And then we go into Cyborg's eye, into like this digital verse.
Yeah,
the digital world, and then we end up right back in this vision of the future, right? Because this is the Mother Boxes. They spoke to him back in the scout ship, and they said the future has taken root in the present, and they kind of showed him the future that the world would look like this. And so you kind of see Metropolis as it looked like in the nightmare in Dawn of Justice. So again, with the apocalypse and the hell pits and all this stuff, and then you kind of also see like a little bit of a suburb behind Joe Morton and Karen Bryson, who plays Eleanor Stone and Silas Stone respectively. You see the kind of houses, so you can assume that they used to live in a house like this before the accident, and then they live in Gotham City after. So It is, we've been talking about The Flash, but Scott, I'm going to throw it to you to get a chance to talk about The Flash, or I'm sorry, about Cyborg in this movie. What are your thoughts on Ray Fisher as Cyborg in here?
I think that he is executing the vision of this character that is in this film very, very well. It's not my Cyborg. It would never be my Cyborg. And also my Cyborg would never be in a Justice League movie. But that's just me. I know that was the style at the time.
Which was the style.
But I think it's, you know, of the many terrible things that Geoff Johns has done, I think it's one of the worst creative decisions he ever made was
really
to make Cyborg a yeah, to rip Cyborg away from the Teen Titans and make him a founding Justice League member. Horrible, horrible choice. But I don't know. That's just me. I'm not into it.
No, I can see it. Like I teetered on that line a lot, especially because I was at the comic book store when all of that was even happening, even during like the big events of you know, Justice League and Grid, and even when Cyborg's self-titled book came out and everything like that. I was always going back and forth between like, well, why won't we do a Teen Titans Cyborg right now? What is stopping us? And I guess the only thing I walked away from that was like in my own head, I was like, oh, just because Cyborg's just like too OP. Like he is a Justice League guy. But that kind of comes like after the fact, because like you have to write him to be like that, you know?
Right? Right. he wasn't part Mother Box until Geoff Johns got his hands on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just a cyborg before
that. Robot man.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think he does a great job with this version of the character. I just, I don't, I don't know why he needs to be here personally. Cyborg. I don't. I think there's other characters you could have used. But
yeah,
I don't know.
So, and that's what we learned, especially when we were doing Doom Patrol and this at the same time, was like having two things that we really liked and Cyborg having to be in both of them. And then, and again, speaking to the writers of Doom Patrol and kind of asking like, what was the idea of having Cyborg involved with Doom Patrol? And it's baked in, right? Because like there was this mandate, you have to put this character in. Like, this character has to be in Justice League. This character has to be in Doom Patrol. Like, there's this push for it. And from, like, kind of, like, what I've gathered is that, like, just like Flash and Flashpoint, I'm assuming Geoff Johns was like, I think this character's really overpowered and, like, X, Y, and Z and all this stuff. And then, like, could not put that back in the box, right? And just had to run with it. And so that's how we get now Cyborg. And it's like, Mother Box or not, there's this idea that, like, we have this new digital godlike character. Yeah. And if we're treating all these DC characters very godlike, it's like, this is our new era of a superhero. It's like, he's so connected. You can do so many great things with the power of technology, and that it becomes Pandora's box of like what we do with that. And that's like how it kind of like, well, obviously it's now a Justice League character. It's not a Teen Titans character because he's so, like, right. Nate said, it's just so OP, but again, it comes to writing, and it's no different than writing The Flash. It's like, okay, just because they can go back in time or just because they can control every computer or every ATM machine doesn't mean you have to step into that. Like, you just have to control yourself.
Right.
You've got, or at least take baby steps, right? Like, right. You can't. And so, yeah, it's for me, I like it. I like the idea. I think it's fun. I'm okay with Cyborg being in Doom Patrol or Justice League because, like, if the story can serve it well, it's like, yeah, okay, fine. But I also really like Cyborg hanging out with Robin. You know, I just think it's like how they do it now in Dawn of DC with Titans. I like that. I like they're like adults. They're still doing their thing as Titans, but they know when and when not to like. Like, ignorance is bliss kind of thing again. Like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Just keep them contained.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that all being said, it's like, yeah, you know, clearly Zach's vision for these characters is like they're our modern, you know, Greek gods or Roman gods or whatever. And so, like, if that's his vision, then yeah, sure. You know, it's fine. And as long as it is now not the only version, you know, now there's lots of versions. And so it's like, yeah, I can appreciate each one for what they are. Wouldn't be my choice, but I think this is executed well enough. And I think Ray plays this version of Cyborg really well. So yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's not my choice, but I guess I get it. I just think that, like, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of young characters being in the Justice League. I just think, like, if you're going to have the Flash and Cyborg, well, the Flash should always be in the Justice League. But if you're going to have Cyborg in the Justice League, then I feel like he should be, you know, older, like quite a bit older. Especially if he's supposed to have these godlike powers. Doesn't it make sense that he's been Cyborg for like 10 years? Like, I feel like that would make more sense to me, of like, oh yeah, like he's evolved and upgraded or whatever over time, and now it's gotten so crazy he's like OP and like godlike, yeah. But I feel like he needs to be an adult, not, you know, fresh out of whatever college. Is he fresh out of college?
The high school.
High school.
High school. No, wait. Oh. No, Gotham.
College.
University.
It's college.
Gotham University. City. Yeah.
Gotham City college. University. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't he? And most times he's a high school student.
Well, yeah, because most times he's in the Teen Titans. Yeah.
Teenagers.
Yes.
He might actually still be a teenager, I do believe, but he's like, yeah.
Yeah,
but
he's technically an adult, yeah. But yeah.
Which, by the way, I got to say, I love this Letterman jacket. I'm always a huge fan of, you know, Letterman jackets. I don't know what it is, like, I'm not like really that into sports, but man, do I love the style. I love the patchwork on here. Yeah. Everything about this, I'm like, I want this jacket. But anyways, I just really liked it. And you know, it's one thing to kind of have like your preference of, you know, what cyborg, you know, kind of like what his power level is and where he's at. Is it Teen Titan cyborg or is it Justice League cyborg? Mm-hmm. But Victor Stone, the character going through this, is that something that's also, you wouldn't have it that way? Because from what we've seen lately, like that's like his thing in Doom Patrol. And in here, it's like kind of this metamorphosis thing where it's like, I didn't want to be this way. And I'm kind of dealing with it. So like what Ray Fisher is working with as far as like what's written for him.
Yeah.
It seems like that's the only route. And I mean, we all love it. I mean, I like Ray Fisher. I like what Jovian Wade does for Doom Patrol, kind of going through this, like, I didn't want to be created this way. I'm having this really rough time with my dad who put this on me. But yeah. I don't know how is it different that we can tell this character's story unless he's just past that point, right?
Right. I mean, I guess my problem with it is, like, my problem with everything that Geoff Johns does at DC, which is that, like, as soon as he does it, it's now the only thing that's allowed to exist for some reason. The fact that, like, everyone forgets that Barry Allen's origin has nothing to do with his mother being dead and his dad being in prison for her murder. That's like 12 years old, something like that. Like that's he did that. Like he made that happen. And I hate it. I've always hated it, but now it's the only version of Barry Allen that's allowed to exist. Like now it's just taken for granted that that is his origin. And it's not, it wasn't for so long. In fact, he was like one of the only characters that didn't have like a dark origin story, you know, like his origin was like, he got, stuff spilled on him. And then he was like, well, I guess I do believe in justice. Cause I am a police officer technically. And so he becomes a superhero because he's like, yeah, it's the responsible thing to do. And I guess that's not interesting enough for people, but, I feel like it just frustrates me with this cyborg thing that it's like, that's the only version of cyborg that's allowed to exist now. It's cool that it exists. Like it's totally fine as like a take on cyborg. Yeah. I just don't like that it's now the default take on cyborg. And I hope that shifts at some point now that Geoff Johns has like lost all of his.
Yeah. I think it will, especially like with like what we were seeing, I guess now, the 92 X-Men, which is like, you know,
right,
a cool version kind of thing. But those people's powers have changed all over the place,
true,
you know, even from 1992. So it's like, oh, yeah, we can just do this. But hey, Wolverine's back in blue and yellow. So we like that, right? It's like, yeah, of course, if we do like a, what was it, 1982 Titans? 82 Titans 82. Hey, I just named your book for you. You could go back to Gold Cyborg. You can do all these teenage, you know, things that these kids were having to do. And that's what the book was about. Kids figuring out who they were and dealing with superpowers and on group projects. So, I mean, I think we could get to that point, you know, with the success of what other things that have come forth now.
Yeah,
we can get to it. Just do it and just stand your ground on your vision. You know, just like, we don't, I don't know.
I just don't want another, like when they make this Teen Titans movie, they're threatening to make now. Like, I just don't want
threatening
another,
to make. The gun is to my head.
But, they're threatening to make it in so much as like, I don't see it getting made yet. But they're claiming it's another movie that's getting made. I hope that we don't get yet another, like, mopey, woe is me cyborg. You know, I don't necessarily need him to, you know, be like booyah, like, you know, early 2000s Teen Titans cartoon cyborg. Like, I don't need that. But like, it'd be cool if he wasn't like, you know, just so like brooding all the time, and was more like accepting of his situation a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe that would be good. Maybe give him something else that he can be having issues with. I don't know. There's a million things that he had an emotional arc about over the course of, you know, the Teen Titans comics. It just doesn't just have to be that. I don't know. That's my feeling on it. It's just like, I just don't want, we've gotten two now, two mopey, woe is me cyborgs. I think that's enough. We don't need a third, is what I'm saying.
The way they do it in Doom Patrol, he has those problems. Obviously, it's a TV show, so he's got to have his little dramatic bits with his dad.
Right.
But it's still fun, and he's not mother-boxed cyborg. Right. He's just, my dad put robotics on me.
Right, that's true.
And it's like, okay, there is still this drive, this campaign to put cyborg in more things. And that, you know, you can kind of question that further and be like, why are we doing this? There's so
because
many
it's because he's one of the only black DC characters that anyone knows by name. That's the reason. And his name isn't Black something, which is the other thing. There's a lot of black DC characters that are like Black something. And for some reason, well, I know the reason. His name is Jeff Johns. They won't let John Stewart be. Everybody knows John Stewart because of the Justice League cartoon.
Yes.
But like for whatever reason, he's like, no, Hal Jordan or no one. And they like Hal Jordan has to be Green Lantern because he's my Green Lantern and I'm Jeff Johns. And it's like, okay, man, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever.
It kind of makes you question, what that movie would have been like for Cyborg had it been made, because not to like speculate too much of like what it would be about, like synopsis wise, but we do have a cyborg here who's this movie acts as his origin film. So it kind of is a cyborg movie, arguably, that he goes through this, you know, he's kind of down in the dumps because his mother died in this movie and like he's created in this way. His father then dies and he's trying to reconcile with that as well. And then, of course, the epilogue, A Father Twice Over. You know, this is all about Cyborg. So, like, when it comes to the next film, it's like, so you're a totally different person in the next movie, right? Because you've kind of, like, grown over that. And so now you can be happy again. You're allowed to be happy, right? So it's right. Is that what Ray Fisher would bring to the next movie? Justice League actors, not so much Ben Affleck. He's kind of chipper sometimes, but most of them are very positive, outgoing people, like Jason Momoa and Ray Fisher. Mm-hmm. But then their characters are like hardened and, you know, it's like keeping their feelings close. But it's like, is that the cyborg we would have seen? Like we would have seen a more positive cyborg.
Yeah.
In his own film.
I mean, I think the problem with the cyborg movie was just that, like, I don't know what that movie would be, because he's never, like, he has a few solo books, but they're all relatively new, you know? So it's like, so are you just going to like adapt the grid? Like, is that what you're going to do? Like, it's going to be
the grid. Yeah.
The grid's going to be the villain, I guess. Like,
it kind of has to be. Where else are you going to go?
Well, exactly. Like, well, my pitch was always going to be that, like, his movie was going to be like about how he wishes that he sees other young heroes. And he's like, man, like I had the Justice League look out for me and get my shit together. Help me get my shit together. I wish there was another organization for all these kids that like, and then it's like him starting the Teen Titans, but as like the mentor figure. That's what I thought. That would be kind of a cool way to do Teen Titans in this universe.
I mean, yeah. And like the thing that like, I feel like doesn't get talked about or at least used enough is like his natural leadership skills. He was the quarterback of his football team.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Do that. Go take the reins.
I think he would work. He would work so much better as a mentor figure than as what he is in this movie, which is like, you know, just super desperate weapon for somebody to be his dad.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, it's sad. It's very sad. But also like, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't think it's using Cyborg to the best of his character's abilities, I guess.
Or like in their history.
Yeah, too. Right. Yeah, he would make, to me, he makes, if you want an older cyborg that's part of Justice League, like, fine. Like, you need, like, a computer guy. I get it. Whatever. Computer man. That's fine. But I think that his default should be as the founder and mentor figure of the Teen Titans.
Well, it's like you mentioned Mr. Terrific earlier. And it's like,
yeah,
if we need a person to build a time machine for Barry, like a cosmic treadmill.
Right.
Like, we can have Mr. Trevor, because I'm pretty sure that's what happens in Zack Snyder's other films, is that because it's just Batman, Cyborg, and Flash left, that Cyborg is like, I'm going to use part of me to, like, build you this treadmill, and you have to figure out which of these two time portals you got to go through. And then Batman's like, do this one. Oh, wait, no, wait, do that one. And then Barry is, like, sent in between. So it's, you know, if it's, I think it's easy to substitute Cyborg for anyone else with technological prowess, but of course it's, yeah, it's like you said, it's Geoff Johns who's like, at this point in time, he was commanding the ship of where it was headed.
I also think it's a little bit of an Iron Man thing too, of like, well, you got to have an Iron Man on the team. Why?
Yeah, what, suit of armor guys.
Yeah, right.
With gadgets, I guess, that you can just, like, make appear. So, yep. Like, you are kind of like a treasure chest of weapons. Right.
The nanotechnology.
Yeah,
thing. I literally think that's what it is, and it's unfortunate. it's unfortunate. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in this minute, because basically what's happening in this minute where he's again seeing his parents, Silas Stone and Eleanor Stone, and they both say two lines. One is my broken boy, and then Silas Stone says, you don't have to be alone anymore. Those are kind of, you know, how he's been feeling this entire movie. So, like, this becomes the climax of his own story throughout this movie. It's a great way to end his story. I think it's very poetic. I think it's very beautiful in this moment.
I just have a question, because I didn't rewatch this whole movie for this week. So I'm only seeing these, like, 5 minutes out of context. Where is he? What are they? Like, what are his family for real? Like, what is happening here actually?
So,
like, outside of, like, the metaphor or allegory of what's going on, what is practically happening, I guess?
That the mother boxes have, like, a personality in that regard, like, that they're, so we've been talking a lot about this kind of Arthurian mythology that Zack Snyder has wanted to kind of impregnate the Apocalypse family with. Like, he's just like, it's like, you know, we've called Steppenwolf, like, the anti version of Percival, right? Looking for the Holy Grail for King Arthur, which is Darkseid, and, like, they all speak in kind of old English a bit, like Desaad, I call to thee, and type of thing. And so there's a Macbeth thing happening with these mother boxes. There's three mother boxes. There's almost like sirens or the Sisters of Fate. Like, in a very Macbeth way, they control fate, like, because they are mother boxes. They are change machines. And so him being connected to it, he's then, like, going to disrupt them. And in their final attempt to defend themselves, they try to play this mental game because they are connected to him. He's born from them now. And so he's trying to stop them, but they're, like, going to play this mind game with him. It's going to be one more kind of, like, Odysseus challenge of, like, oh, don't do this. You don't want to do this. And he's like, no, I've actually learned from the help of my new friends that I can do this. I am strong again. I'm no longer broken. And so, yeah, the Sisters of Fate will try to challenge him once more. And if they can break him, then he won't be able to stop the unity from happening again, because they, I don't know, they exploded, and then what, Barry Allen has to travel back in time again and keep doing it until Cyborg can figure it out, this puzzle here. But yeah, they're pretty much like the Sisters of Fate in this moment.
Interesting that one of the sisters is playing him and is just like standing there silently and doing nothing.
Yeah. That's the creepy part about it, right? Like, he's just there as normal ass guy. And they're like, this is you. This could be you. And he's, and look, there's nothing special about him. He's not broken. He's, look at him. He's so happy. And he's just standing there. And I think that's, it's supposed to be that level of creepiness of like, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't, I don't know how I feel about this. And it, I mean, obviously that imagery there with the hell pit behind this, like, nuclear looking family in the suburbs. And then you have that there. That's what I was going to talk about. All these characters have had these dream sequences. Like almost every Justice League member has had this. Man of Steel, Superman had it. Batman throughout the entire Dawn of Justice is having these dreams. Even Ares in Wonder Woman has given Wonder Woman this false reality of a perfect future. And then, of course, now, and I guess you could argue the Flash has it in this entire movie of what a perfect future might look like. So he's chasing that as well. But the Sisters of Fate here, the way that they challenge him is by, again, creating a lie, a beautiful lie, if you will, of the future, and he has to see through it and be like, no, this is a lie, this is not, and this isn't who I am. Like, I just, being that person is not who I am anymore. I'm stronger, I'm better, I have friends, they're what are keeping me, you know, strong, and it's not just about me anymore, it's about everyone else that I love. So I think it's quite beautiful.
I do really love, I'm going to take it back a little bit. I do really love the slow motion of Flash here in this one. It just seems like the right thing to do. It seems perfect to me. More so than any other slow motion bit in this entire movie, or even some of the other ones. To me, this moment here is like, oh yeah, this is like the perfect example of when you're supposed to do the slow motion over the shoulder shot. I don't know, it felt very serious. It felt like things were at stake. It really did feel like a climactic event for me. And then I remember thinking when it went into like the eye and did the whole digital tunnel, I was like, oh, that's cool as hell. And I was like in it 100%. I was like, oh, sweet. What an amazing transition. I love it. I love everything about that. Let's give me more Transformers while you're at it too. Like, I'm here for it.
Really?
Yes, really. I don't care how bad they are. Just give me as many Transformers movies as you want. I just want to see the giant robots.
Okay, we're having a totally different conversation now. Okay, hold on. We're not doing Transformers Minute. Please don't make me do it. I like how weird it is. Like, the thing about it is how weird it looks. We talked a little bit about this when Barry Allen was applying for the pet store or dog adoption center. And the truck driver like had the car accident, and it had this weird focusing on like a sesame seed and like the bird. Like, it was weird, like almost 90s era TV commercial stuff that was happening. And I dig that here in this moment. Like, even the rebuilding of Superman, the rebuilding of Cyborg, and like going into his eye and like this crazy zoom on Ray Fisher. Like, that's what I like about the vision of this, is that, yeah, like, if you're gonna do it, like, I love how weird it looks. If that's the only thing, I'm just like, yeah, I like that. Like, it stands out. It's just one of those things. It's like the fact that it's like, it makes me think about it so much, I think it's what stands the test of time. It's just like, I just like that they did that. So
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it works for you guys, but like, that's just not. I don't know. It's not.
I hear you.
All I can think about is how this is all supposed to be culminating with him, you know, touching the mother box or touching Cyborg or whatever he's supposed to be touching, and we don't even get to see him succeed in that. We just have to assume because we go inside Cyborg's eye. And so the culmination of the entire sequence doesn't even happen. And I find that, like, I don't know. I think of filmmaking like conducting music in a weird way. And I, you know, you want your audience to be satisfied by certain things in certain ways. And if you're, whole setup of him going back in time is to lead to the fact that, like, he's gonna zap the mother box, then I want to see that happen, and we don't. So it kind of bothers me. I don't know. I feel like it's just weirdly constructed. Also, Cyborg, when he gets reassembled, reminds me of the Flash movie with the carousel, cosmic carousel.
Oh, the chrono ball thing.
Yeah, whatever that
bowl.
Yeah, whatever that thing is.
Chrono bowl.
Chrono bowl. Okay.
Not chrono bowl. That's a fun word. Chrono bowl. Because he's in a bowl. Yeah, we had
really?
We had some fun thoughts about that little carousel of time.
Thank you for rewatching it so that you can correct me in this moment. And I mean that because I would not thank you. We did talk a lot about his heart. You know, they replaced that classic red Cyborg with that kind of like inner heart that's like red, that red light. So they could have been, like you said, if there's something to connect to, if we want to see something a little bit more tangible with the Flash and that kind of charge he's been building up this entire act, is that he can, you know, either touch the mother box or touch Cyborg kind of like in the heart, and then even from there you can kind of see maybe similar to the lightning that was dancing around the Flash before he wound up, you can kind of see that maybe traveling into Cyborg's eye, like maybe it goes from the heart up the face and then into the eye and then just a little extra steps, but it gets there. And then you kind of see the exchange of the power of love. So that's how we get there.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover the show as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can find us on Twitter at @DCEUMinute. And if you'd like bonus content, we have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you here next time on DC Cinematic Minute.